Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're one of those who pay attention to such things, you'll know that we are nearing the end of the church year. And note that the end of the church year is not the same as a calendar year. In 2 weeks, we'll start a new church year with the season of Advent, a time when we prepare for the coming of our Saviour Jesus at Christmas. As we approach the end of this year, our readings also focus on endings, particularly the end of the world. Today, to aid us in our reflections, we'll focus on our Old Testament reading from Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The book of Daniel belongs to the genre of apocalyptic, just like the book of Revelation in the New Testament. The English word apocalyptic is from the Greek word for uncover or reveal, because it seeks to uncover the view of world history from God's perspective. Apocalyptic literature often uses vivid or highly symbolic language to get its message across, which is why we use the word apocalypse to describe disasters. But the purpose of apocalyptic writing in the Bible is not just to describe or warn about disaster, but to bring comfort. Daniel, Revelation, and other apocalyptic passages in the Bible do warn God's faithful people that trouble will come, but they also comfort us that God is always in control. Nothing in history happens without God's foreknowledge and permission. And so his people are safe until the end. The prophet Daniel lived during the exile in Babylon, so much of what was revealed to him has already happened. Many of the visions shown to Daniel and recorded in the book happened in the century between the exile, which ended with the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem in 515 BC, and the birth of Jesus. But Daniel 12, the last chapter, deals not with our past, but with our future, with the so-called last days between Jesus' ascension to heaven and his return to earth at the end of the world. And that is why today's reading is particularly relevant to us who live in those last days. In the reading, the prophet Daniel shares the final words of a heavenly messenger warning him what will happen in the last days. In verse 1, we hear, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered." That the last days will be a time of great distress is confirmed by Jesus in our gospel reading, when he says from Mark 13, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains." Sound familiar? Wars, famines, and natural disasters. But in the midst of the suffering caused by these events, there is also hope. God promises to deliver his people, all whose names are written in his book. That means all who are citizens of his kingdom. The future of God's people is described then in the second verse of our reading. "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." Here we see a promise explained more fully in the New Testament, and which we proclaim every Sunday in the Creed, the resurrection of the dead on the last day, when our Saviour Jesus returns to earth to gather his people to himself. The promise is that those who lived their lives loved by God and striving to love him back will continue that relationship into eternity. For them, the intervening time between death and eternal life is like a sleep from which they will awaken. But sadly, those who reject God in this life can also expect to spend eternity without him. Finally, we're told in verse 3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. In the Bible, wisdom is more than head knowledge or using it in clever ways. Wisdom is a gift from God that allows someone to know and trust God and his ways. A wise person is one whose mind is enlightened by God, hence the imagery of God's people shining like the stars. And this wisdom is not something that we are to keep to ourselves, but we are to share it with others, so that they too are led to the righteousness that God wants to give them. Now, I realize that none of what we learn from today's reading is new to you. But, especially when we are faced with times of distress, we need to be comforted by hearing God's promises again and again. When we are faced with the reality of war and the suffering it brings, we need to be reminded that God will bring all wars to an end and inaugurate an eternity of peace. When we are shaken by natural disasters, we need to be reminded that God promises to make all things new. And when we are faced with the seeming finality of death, we need to be reminded that because of our Lord Jesus, death is not the end. That because he lives, we also will live forever with him. Now, unfortunately, we here have not yet reached eternity. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, well, how should we live now? How should we live in this life, in these last days, in the midst of earthly distresses? Well, one way we shouldn't live is by seeking some private spiritual revelation. In the very next verse after our reading, the heavenly messenger warns Daniel, many will go here and there to increase knowledge, that is, to seek knowledge outside of what God has revealed to them. And history has confirmed this inclination is common among humans. In every generation, people start or join religions or mystery cults, seeking to discover secrets that will allow them to escape from the distress of the end times, and always to no avail. Even Christians are sometimes tempted by this approach, spending much time trying to decipher the symbolic language of the apocalyptic books of the Bible, particularly Revelation. But it's important to recognize that everything God wants us to know about the future has already been made clear to us in his word. He doesn't want us to try and search out secrets that are not for us to know, such as when Jesus will return. He wants us to simply trust the promises he has already made to us. For example, that Jesus will return. This understanding is supported by verses 9 and 10 of Daniel 12, when the messenger tells him, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. So, what should we do as we wait for the end in these troubling times? Well, first of all, we take comfort from God's promises. We take comfort in our names being written in God's book, knowing that our citizenship in his kingdom is safe until the end. And we take comfort in the promise of the resurrection, that our future is not oblivion or some vague spiritual experience, but that our eternal lives will be lived out as us, just in new, perfect, and imperishable bodies. Secondly, we go our way, as Daniel was advised. The Christian life is not one of passively and helplessly waiting for prophecy to be fulfilled. It's not about simply enduring this life until we can get a better one in the future. Rather, the Christian life is about already enjoying the fullness of living in a relationship with God right now. A new life that has already started at our baptism and will continue on forever, even after death. Daniel describes our lives as ones where God actively grows us in wisdom, righteousness, and purity. This means we should take every opportunity to hear and meditate on God's word. As the Apostle Paul described to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God's word not only helps us grow in knowing and trusting him, but it makes us righteous. It makes us right with him, and it empowers us to do right things for others. Finally, as we live our lives with God at the center of them, he makes us pure. He helps us to resist sin and encourages us to seek forgiveness when we fail. Indeed, God uses all of our life experiences, including the difficult ones brought about by the turmoil of the end times, to prepare us for heaven. Like fire refines metal, God uses our experiences to remove our earthly dross so that only the precious and heavenly silver and gold will endure. Dear people of God, I leave you with the final words of the heavenly messenger to Daniel, the very last verse of his book. "As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." This is a wonderful summary of God's promise to you throughout the Bible. Now you can live in peace even during times of trouble, because you are safe with him until the end. Your name is written in God's book, and so when Jesus returns on the last day, you too will rise again and receive your inheritance of eternal life with him. So, while you are still here on earth, there is nothing you need fear. Instead, you can go your way, growing in wisdom, righteousness, and purity, and pointing other people to God, so that they too can share in this assurance. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.